Let's all stand. We'll read verses 1 through 5 of Revelation chapter 5. We'll read this responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, this is speaking of John, who was a human penman that wrote this book, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this just prophetic study coming out of the book of Revelation. I pray, Father, we would learn some things tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would just be excited about the future that we have and that we're not going to have to go through what these earth dwellers will. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the last 2 weeks in our prophetic studies, which are not comprehensive, by the way, but should at least give us some knowledge of what the future holds, we have taken a look at the rapture. We took a look at the Antichrist, who will be the world's last dictator and one who is under the full control of Satan. And in this message, I want to speak on the various judgments that come from God upon this earth during the tribulation, also known as Daniel's 70th week, or the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, speaking on the judgments of God may not be well received by plenty of people, but every God-called man must, without apology, preach the word and declare the whole counsel of God. I believe we have often lost sight of just how sinful sin is in the eyes of a thrice holy God. For God to remain holy, which he will, for him to abhor evil, which he does, and for him to have a relationship with man, which he desires, sin must be judged. And that was the very reason for Calvary. For there Jesus made payment for the sin of sinful man, and God's judgment for sin was satisfied. When reading the book of Revelation, you can't help but notice the righteous judgments of God upon the wickedness of men. Justice upon this Christ-rejecting world is being served, and God is cleansing the earth so Christ can establish his kingdom. This much I know. Those of us who are born again ought to be grateful that we are saved from the wrath of God to come, for these judgments that are certain to happen are devastating. They are decisive and deadly. Keep in mind the following facts as we look into these judgments, that they cover a period of 7 years. During those 7 years, the church is not mentioned, for it has already been taken out at the rapture. All these judgments come from God. And at the center of these events is the nation of Israel, as God is bringing back his people to himself. Jesus also spoke of such times in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. To begin our study on these judgments, we must start with our text verses. There John sees a scroll in the hand of one who is sitting on the throne. That happens to be God the Father. Now this scroll is actually the title deed to the earth. And we might think of it as being a will, or a document of inheritance. Now, the scroll contains the rights to claim authority over the entire earth. It is sealed with seven seals, reserved for the right time and the right person to open. Those seals must be broken in order for the document to be opened and the right to an inheritance to be claimed. Roman law required a will to be sealed seven times for it to be considered valid. John then hears an angel and he asks in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof?" Then notice the response in verse 3 and 4 of our text this morning. "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Neither John, nor the angels, or any of the raptured believers in heaven have the rights to claim earth and restore it to its rightful ownership. If no one is worthy, then the world would continue with the Antichrist in charge and with wickedness only growing and getting worse. Furthermore, there would be no kingdom of God established here on the earth. And no wonder John is weeping and sorrowing, because nobody was worthy. But the scene quickly changes. For we read this in verse 5 through 7 of this chapter. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." When Jesus takes the book, he is claiming what is rightfully his. What takes place here is a fulfillment of the promise the Father made to the Son in both Old Testament and New Testament. For we read in Psalm 2, verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Then we're told this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." It is in chapter 6 where we see the beginning of these successive judgments being poured out upon this world. This means that the seventh seal judgment will bring about the first trumpet judgment, and the seventh judgment will bring about the first vial or bowl judgment. Revelation 6, 1 through 8, we see that the seven seals are open. In the first seal, the Antichrist is revealed. And Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 tells us, "And I saw when the land opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now this person on this white horse isn't the same person that is on the white horse in Revelation 19. This person is the Antichrist, the future world dictator, and he begins his reign as a peacemaker, and he conquers the world through peace. This, however, will be short-lived. For we read about the second seal, and peace is taken from the earth. Notice what it says in chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now the Antichrist exchanges his empty bow for a sword, and now war breaks out. The third seal is famine, and as there is a shortage of food. Notice in verse 5 and 6, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now in Jesus' day, or John's day, a penny would be a day's wages. And a measure of wheat would be enough for one meal. Three measures, of course, of barley would be three meals worth. After one used their entire day's wages to buy grain, there would be nothing left over to buy oil and wine. One can only afford during this time the basic necessities, and those basic necessities will still be in short supply. Then the fourth seal is death. Notice verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with the hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, since the current world's population is over 8 billion, this means that when this pale horse rider, he starts going over the earth, 2 billion people will perish. Unbelievable. Then the fifth seal is that of martyred souls being heard. Verse 9 through 11 of chapter 6 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Oh, the saints in heaven, know that God will eventually judge sin and establish his righteousness here on earth. But they do not know God's exact schedule. They are not seeking personal revenge, but vindication of God's holiness and the establishment of his justice here on earth. Then the sixth seal is chaos. It's found in verse 12 through 17. And it speaks of a great earthquake. Then the sun is blackened and the moon becomes as blood. The stars of heaven fall to the earth, and the world's largest ever prayer meeting takes place as men hide themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, saying to mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" All of nature will be affected after this sixth seal is open, and the results will be chaos. And even the most courageous of men will try to hide from God and from the wrath of the Lamb. The seventh seal begins the trumpet judgments. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it is written, "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And when the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in heaven for about a half an hour. This silence was a lull before the storm, for seven angels were given seven trumpets. And the judgments connected to them were far worse than the previous judgments that came upon this earth. The opening of the seventh seal marks a great day of his wrath. The first trumpet is hail and fire. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees were burnt up, and the green grass was burnt up." Hail, fire, mingled with blood. One can only imagine how this will affect the food supply. And this judgment, by the way, should be taken literally. And then the second trumpet, a mountain of fire is cast into the sea. Verse 8 and 9 says this, "And the second angel sounded as it were, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of creatures which were in the sea and had life died. and the third part of the ships were destroyed. There's going to be a burning mass likened unto a great mountain. It'll be cast out of heaven, and it's going to turn a third part of the sea into blood, and a third part of marine life will die, and a third part of the ships will be destroyed. There's going to be economic and ecological disaster of epic portions, something this world has never known. Then the third trumpet, a star called wormwood, poisons fresh water. Revelation 8, chapter 10 and 11 tells us this. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood, and the third part of waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Wormwood is a bitter desert plant mentioned in the Old Testament, and it is always associated with sorrow and bitter judgment. Here, this star from heaven is cast into the sweet water. It becomes bitter, it becomes poisonous and undrinkable, and as a result, many die for partaking in it. Then the fourth judgment is partial darkness. Revelation 8:12 says, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This means days will be shorter, nights will be longer. And since men love darkness because they're deeds are evil, we can only imagine that things will get worse and humanity will be more inhumane than ever before. In verse 13 of this chapter, we see the next three trumpet judgments. They are said to be woe, woe, woe. Meaning if you thought the first four were terrible, just wait. The worst is yet to come. The fifth trumpet releases demonic creatures sent to torture men for 5 months. Look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fall from heaven unto the earth, and him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now this star that fell from heaven is likely Satan, and he unlocks the abyss and releases locusts, which have the sting of a scorpion and the pain that is so severe that people will plead for death, but it will flee from them. They will not be able to die. They may try to commit suicide, but they won't be able to perish. They will live through suicidal attempts. Notice what it says in verse 3 through 12 of Revelation chapter 9. It's going to be awful. It says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. You say, oh, what are those for real? Yeah, they're for real. We ought to take the Bible literally. Amen. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That means those who are saved, they will escape this judgment. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound in their wings were as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is a bad one. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Now, who would that be? That would be Satan. Then the sixth trumpet, four demon warriors who have been bound are loosed for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay the third part of men. Now, remember, there's already what? One-fourth gone. Now you got another third gone. And that's beside the death of the rest of those folks. So right now, we're down to what? 4 billion max. Yeah, you go one-fourth from eight is six. A third from six would be four. You must have went to public school. These demonic beings will gather a huge military of 200 million soldiers. You say, oh, preacher, that's impossible. Really? China has millions upon millions of soldiers. I've heard they got 200 million already. Serious? Yeah. 200 million soldiers. And they'll ultimately destroy a third of the world's population. By now, over one half of the 8 billion plus people have died that have inhabited our earth today. You may think by now that with all these judgments, they're still those still alive would be turning to God. But look at their response in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 9, where we are told, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet what? Repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented, that means what? Change their mind. They of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And then the seventh trumpet, or the third woe, is the beginning of vile judgments. And we find that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And we also go into chapter 16 with these vile judgments. But in verse 15, we are told, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now the great voices mentioned are probably those in heaven, shouting in unison the great news that the world belongs to Christ, and he's about to claim his rights to it. And this means the end of the Antichrist rule and the doom of all those who followed him. However, our Lord's judgments do continue, and the vile, or some people would call bold judgments. The first one mentioned in Revelation chapter 15. Notice what it says in verse 1. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. I'm thinking, verse 1 of chapter 16 is what I'm looking at. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worship his image. Now, this first vial or bold judgment happens after the last of the trumpet judgments. And these vile judgments or bold judgments, once they're through, lead to the final battle of Armageddon. And all seven of these judgments are found in one chapter, chapter 16. And this great chapter, which is called great because the word great is used several times, as well as it's great because of the severity of its judgments that are described here. These judgments will likely happen in quick succession, one right after another. And the first one we read about is sores. Now, the description here is one that is truly painful. The word noisome means actively causing hurt, while the word grievous means painful. Those affected are the ones who receive the mark of the beast. Then the second vile judgment, the sea becomes blood. Notice what it says in verse 3 of Revelation 16. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The third vile judgment are where rivers and fountains of water become blood. Look at verse 4 of chapter 16. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became as blood. In verses 5 through 7, heaven gives justification for this terrible judgment upon both salt and fresh water. Those on earth have shed the blood of God's people, so it's only right that they should drink blood. God will avenge the blood of his martyred people. The fourth vile judgment, the sun scorches man. It is written in verse 8 and 9 of this chapter. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Here the intensity of the sun is so increased that it causes men to be scorched by its rays or to be burned. Then to make the judgment even more intolerable, the source of water is not available to suffering individuals. The torment they are in causes men to blaspheme the name of God. Then the fifth vile judgment is darkness on the Antichrist kingdom. Verse 10 and 11 says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Now the seed of the beast is a reference to Jerusalem, for the Antichrist has set his throne in the temple that is now there. And he there is ruling as God. And this judgment that we read about right here fulfills the Old Testament prophecy that is found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And it tells us this. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Then the sixth vile judgment, the Euphrates River dries up. And it says this in chapter 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water there was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Drying this river causes a passage for the nations of the east to access the valley of Megiddo, where they'll partake in the battle of Armageddon. And that is mentioned in verse 14 through 16. There we read, for they are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. These kings and their armies are marching to their doom, where they'll be struck down by Christ when he returns with his saints to this earth. Then the seventh vile judgment, we see a severe earthquake and hail. Notice what it says in verse 17 through 21 of Revelation 16. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon man a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and the plague thereof was exceeding great. Perhaps the most powerful words of the tribulation period are found in this last judgment, where the seventh angel, after pouring out his vial, said, "It is done." This judgment is God's grand finale before Christ returns. Those voices, the thunder and the lightning, leave no doubt that this is happening from God himself. This earthquake is unequaled by any other. And the hailstones, well, they weigh somewhere between 125 to 135 pounds. Make no mistake about it, God is indeed the judge of all the earth. This world faces dark and fearful days. Now's the time for lost people to get saved, for professors to make sure their soul is safe in Jesus. And those of us who are saved, it ought to hasten us to go take the gospel message to the lost and those who are undone and do all we can and compel them to come to Christ. Then, how about being grateful that if Jesus were to come today, we as his people would be spared from this awful 7-year period known as the tribulation? Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Yes, God's going to judge this earth.